precious memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years. And old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appear. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. In the stillness of the midnight, echoes from the past I hear. Old time singing, gladness bringing from that lovely land somewhere. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. As I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious memories flood my soul. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious sacred scenes unfold.
Thank you for that beautiful special. I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this evening, and I would ask each one of us to open our hearts and our minds to those words that he has for us. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother, Hubert Yates.
Thank you, Duane. And I remembered to turn it on this time. I want to thank you for that beautiful song. The gospel of Christ leaves precious memories. Things that you can't forget of the experiences that you've had with the Lord. And they're ever there. And I know that each of us here has things to remember that you've experienced that had a great deal, perhaps, in the moving of your life and the decisions that you've made and the directions that you have chosen to follow and the goals that you've set for your walk of life. You know, I'd like to have you listen closely for a moment. And in the silence, do you hear the voice? This is that the Spirit and the bride say, come. That it calls. That the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. That's something that important for us to do, is to say, come. Is to be willing and ready to bear witness of our Lord. Let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord has presented before us the water of life. It said that, told the sister at the well, if you ever drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And of course, we know that that's talking of the Spirit. And not of the physical body, because we know that we have to continue to drink to sustain the physical body. And we have to continue to drink of the Spirit, of the well, of the water of life, to sustain the Spirit. It is something that it has to be constant. It isn't something that we can hit and miss, and occasionally we'll be like those that are out on the desert and have died because of the want of water, of thirst. But in our Lord, when he's active in our life, when he's with us continually, when he's there, when he's instructing us and encouraging us and helping us to overcome, to fit the armor that is so important that it might fit, that we would have a resistance against the enemy of our soul, how important that is. And so as we come today, we have to know that that bride's here. You know, sometimes in the course of conversation and through the preaching, I hear some say, you know, the day's going to come that there's going to be saved two churches. I'm here to state to you that that day came and was in existence the day the angels come down and ordained them into the priesthood and the Church of Christ was on earth again. It has only been one throughout the generations of time, the body of Christ. And at that particular period of time, that scripture was fulfilled because the Church of Christ was in existence again on the earth. It was here. It was active. Its priesthood was here. And that was gone through the 1260 years, and I'm not going to have time to go through that tonight, but that has gone through the 1260 years wasn't his. That's why it had to be restored. That's why that the angels came down and ordained those men, that the priesthood came from the heaven and not from men, and not from the wisdom of men nor the teaching of men. But the day that they were ordained, the day that the church was established, even according to the law of the land, in April 6th of 1830, that day the church was in existence upon this land, and it would go forth out into the world like it is right now and go to the nations of the world, and it will not be destroyed or left to other people according to the Holy Scripture. But it will consume all these others and break into pieces, and it will stand forever. It's not going to be taken away again. And so that beautiful gospel that came forth, that beautiful gospel that was returned by the hand of an angel when they saw the angel fly from the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to every nation, kin, and tongue, and people. That gospel is on the earth and is here and is active. And it's there for the takers, because the Spirit says, come. It's there. The body of Christ, the wife of Christ, is here. She's here. And she will be here. And he's going to return to her. And it will be here until the Lord comes. And so it's important that we realize that we have a grave responsibility, and that's to know that he has taught all the children of men. He has taught and caused to be written and preserved so you and I could know him and know what's required of us, so that we would know that there is a gospel, that we would know that there is a way, that we would know that there is a doctrine that he has caused to be written to edify us, to teach us, so that we would be schooled in the way of God, so we'd be taught in the ways of the things that was essential to our soul's welfare, and that we would have a record to go to verify and to ask God, to seek, to knock, to ask, and it would be given, so that we could know how to follow him, because he says, follow thou me and do the things you see me do. And all the time that we're trying to follow, that Spirit is still saying, come, come, follow me. Follow after the things that you see me do. Do those things, that when the day comes, he says, when that time comes, that it will be a joy to you, because then he will say, if you endure to the end, to enter ye in, my faithful servant. I want to talk about the gospel tonight. That there is a gospel. And I know so oftentimes in the world that gets sort of lost, and it gets put behind and set back, and it gets in, and things thrown all over it and everything, but the Lord has a gospel. He has a way. And he tells us what that gospel is. I'm going to start in Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians, and probably I'm going to start in the sixth verse. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ into another gospel. He says, how in the world can you know of Christ and witness this thing and yet be so quickly removed from the gospel of Christ? How can you do that? Where is the memories? that you had? Where are those memories that you heard them sing throughout this day? You know, where are the memories of those things that you experienced that caused you to have a desire to hear that Spirit call, to hear that church call, and to hear and come? Where is those experiences? He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Isn't that where we're at every time we go to work, every time you go to school, every time you go down to the grocery store, wherever you're at? Isn't there those who wants to pervert the gospel of Christ? Isn't there, Gordon? Everywhere you go. And the Apostle Paul said, what in the world's going on here? Haven't you experienced enough? Haven't you experienced enough to hold solid and tight and to endure to the end in the gospel of Christ in those things? He says, what are you doing? He says, there isn't another. And how true that is. There isn't another. There's one way, and that's God's way. It's not man's way. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, hey, if somebody comes along, remember, the God that we believe in and his Son, Jesus Christ, remember, there's not even a shadow of turning with him. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, be not carried about by diverse and strange doctrines. The world is full of diverse and strange doctrines wherever you go. Constantly. Constantly. Everywhere. If you listen to the radio, they're preaching it over the radio. If you're watching the 700 Club or some of those things on TV, they'll teach part true and the rest of it. Boy, they go off and they gone way out and they're off the path of eternal life. Remember, that path goes along the side of that rod of iron, which is the Word of God. And if you turn loose of that rod of iron, you don't go to the tree of life. You're a fall away and you're lost. And how important it is that we realize that we've got to lay hold of that rod of iron, and it doesn't make any difference. He tells us to try the Spirit, that if something would come and endeavor to teach us something opposite of the gospel of Christ, of those things, he says, which have been taught before. He says, how can you lose that so quickly? We have to endure to the end in the gospel of Christ. We have to hold fast to those things that are true, he says. And how important that is, that we lay hold of that. How important that is, that not only do we recognize that we heard that call and we're part of that body of Christ today, we're of that bride, we're of that church today, and with it goes a responsibility. With it goes a responsibility of a righteous walk before God. Goes a responsibility to have a light that glorifies our Father which is in heaven. That goes a responsibility that our very action, the fruits of our actions, would be that which would witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And be a witness of him. And it wouldn't be something that would cause someone to go astray or put a stumbling block before a brother or sister. But they would see that what you say, what you believe, that you live and you endeavor to apply it to your life. That's what we got to do. We have to apply it to our life. It's not enough. You know, we've heard a lot of times in just regular old world talk, you know, they talk it cheap. It's important that we apply those things to our life and walk in them. If we don't walk in them, they're of no value to us. Even if you know. Even if you know. What good are they if you know, if you don't apply them, if you don't do anything with them? What good is it? You have to apply that gospel of Christ. We have to work with that. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And how true that is. If we please the men of the world, we're not the servants of Christ, because we're living a life that is ungodly. We're living a life of sin. We're living a life of those things of the carnal mind, because that's what the world is. That's why the Scriptures instructs us to be, though we live in the world, not to be of the world. And he tells us, you know, he says, they're going to hate you because you follow me, because you're different. We're to be different than those that are about us. We're to be a different. We're to think different. We're to act different. We're to be entirely different. We're not to be mad and throw fits and raise thunder, but we're to be gentle and kind and easy. That's what's recalled. Because it's not the Spirit of the Lord that makes us throw a fit and gets mad and do those things. That's not the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit of the one that is the enemy to our soul. We got to be peaceful. He says, greater those, he says, whose feet are shod with the preparation of peace. And that preparation of peace is something that we must all shod our feet with and hold fast to that which we know to be true. But hold fast to it with love and gentleness and kindness. How important that is. How important that is. He says, but I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say that the gospel of Christ, it isn't of man. If it is man, you'd find hate. You'd find where there was jealousies. You'd find where there was all kinds of things. The gospel of Christ isn't of man, but it is of the one that created the man that you heard our brother talk about this morning. It's the one that created the man. It's the one that came and walked in the flesh and recognized the needs and felt it when he stubbed his toe and felt the heartache when somebody insulted him and hurt his feelings. The one that came and walked and lived a life before he gave it as an example for us. He lived a life before he gave his life as an example. And in that living that life, he said, follow thou me and do the things that you see me do. And that same voice and that same spirit that calls out tonight would tell us to follow him and do the things that we see him do, to follow after him. And that would curtail forgiveness. That would curtail the love of our enemies. Praying for those who would despitefully use us and persecute us. It puts an action upon us. It puts something that makes us work, to make us apply the gospel of Christ. It puts something there that says, here, be like I am. That is something that you and I have to work towards, that we might accomplish and achieve the goal that we say we want. And that's the goal of eternal life. It's something that we got to work for. That it's not just something that we can just go along and say, well, we'll let everybody else paddle my canoe and I'll just do as I please. No, it's a constant struggle and work. That's why he said that we have to endure to the end, the same to be saved. It's not something that we can just set aside and let it go for a few years and then come back and give it a month and go. But it's something he says, if you're going to come after me, he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Not every 6 months, but we're to take up our cross daily and come and follow Him. That it's a daily effort, because we have an enemy to our soul that daily is coming against us to just try to pull us away from the Lord and to separate us, wherein that we would get to the point where we would be blind and we couldn't hear. We get to the point where we couldn't hear the voice of the Lord talking to us, that we couldn't see and recognize the beauty of Christ, that we would lose those things. And it's important that we're not lost. It's important that if we in this room is to carry the gospel of Christ to the world, we have to apply it. It has to be us. It has to be in our heart, in our mind. We have to live it. And then as you go forth and as you bring that, or when you're talking to somebody at your school or wherever you're at, they know and they'll feel that spirit that you have with us. Like our brother said this morning, that his spirit will be with us. Who wants to travel by themselves? Isn't that what Jacob says in the Book of Mormon? He says they're going to go out and they're going to prune the vineyard for the last time, and they're going to go forth, and he says, and the Lord of the vineyard will go forth with them. What would be done if we went by ourselves? There would be no accomplishment whatsoever. We have to go with the Lord. We that we'll follow Him, and that He will know that we'll follow Him, and that He will recognize that the greatest desire that we have in our life is to please Him and do the things that He would have us to do. Not the things we want to do, not the things our friends want to do, or our spouse, or whoever it is, but that we follow after the Lord and are obedient unto Him. That's important. And if we do that, then we live the gospel as well as preach it. And that's what the Scriptures tells us to do. I want to go over to 1 Thessalonians. And there in 1 Thessalonians, I want to go to the second chapter. And I want to read the fourth verse. I want you to listen to it real close. He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart. Did you ever stop to think that we were allowed? That we're allowed, that we've been put in trust with the gospel of Christ? Did you ever stop and think about the responsibility that we carry, that we've been in trust, we've been put in trust with the gospel of Christ? You know what that tells me? That tells me we've been put in trust with that which is essential for the salvation of the souls of the children of men. That's what that gospel is. We've been put in trust to that. We've been put in trust, and that means that we have to be sort of responsible for our actions and for our teachings, that gospel is applied to our life. We've been put in trust with that. We were allowed. And sometimes when you think about it, it's awesome to think that God would put you in trust with something so precious as the way to eternal life. And the responsibility to study it to the point where you can convey it to others so they can understand. how important that is. Because you might know it from one side to the other, but can you teach it to somebody else where they believe and understand and see how important it is to be able to convey the message of life in such a manner, with parables or whatever it takes, so people can see and can understand how important that is. You know, as I look out here and I look at my son Joel, and and you know, I look over here and I see my daughter Annette, and I see Patricia, and I see some in this room, you know, that understands what it is to saddle a horse, to pack a horse, that understands what it is to be sure that their back is clean and the blankets are not all burred and everything to hurt a horse's back or to do different things, you know. I can talk to them about, you know, say, well, now be sure and check that because it fell down in the dirt or something like that. But somebody that's never saddled a horse here in this audience and never done any of those things, never packed a horse to go over the top of the mountain or to be, when they swim the river, that everything wouldn't get wet. You know, they wouldn't understand quite what you're talking about. And so I'd have to go in to great detail. Well, oftentimes we have to go in great detail of the gospel of Christ so people can understand. We have to start at the beginning. Like the Holy Scripture says, we have to give them milk before they're ready for meat. And you and I have to learn how to milk the cow so that we can give them the milk so they can understand. We have to learn to be able to bring it to them so they're anxious to hear. They're anxious to hear the rest of it. They're anxious to hear, like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. They're anxious to hear about that Christ who gave his life as an atonement for us that we might have life. They're anxious for that. They're hungering. They're thirsting. They want to hear the rest of that story. They want to hear about that man that walked in the flesh. Yea, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, that holds life in his hand. Your life and mine. They want to hear that. They want to hear it. They want to listen. And how important it is. And how awesome it is that we got a God that trusts us to the point that he allowed us to have this gospel to be conveyed to some other people, that they might hear and believe and understand and know the way to eternal life and know how to pray and know how to talk to him and learn how to trust him and learn how to hold with a mighty grip his holy hand, that it might be led. That they would develop the grip to hold on to that rod of iron to endure to the end, that they might partake of that tree of life and the fruit thereof. And afterwards, they wouldn't allow someone to so soon fall away from the gospel. They wouldn't allow the mocking finger to mock them away even after they've partaken of the tree of life. That the mocking finger of the world would have no effect on them, because they would be grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would be grounded in their Lord. And they would hold fast to that Lord. And know that whatever anybody had to say, or what anybody said or did, or anything else, that you have a Savior that you can talk to. You have and you know the anointed. Even that Christ that God sent to proclaim his holy word, that we would recognize him and recognize the need to have him in our life, to recognize to have him there daily, that we take up our cross daily and follow him, that we would have that need and that we need it and we're dependent upon Him and recognize our nothingness and how important it is that we approach His holy throne, our God, and talk to Him in His Son's name. I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm going to read about the first maybe four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory. What did we hear sung tonight? Precious memory. That if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How important it is that we would keep in memory, precious memories of the promises of God. Oh, you know, some people have witnessed different things. We don't all witness the same thing. Some of us have had different experiences. But, you know, we have a right to even look at the prophecies and know that there's a God. We have a right to recognize. And, you know, we don't have to have a sign to have faith. If we have faith, we can have sign. And we'll have sign. It's important that we realize that it depends on us. It depends on us. It depends on our action. It depends on how much we're willing to give to Him. It depends on, are we willing to give our life to Him? Are we willing to yield and be submissive to our Lord? Or do we want Him to yield to our will? That's something that we have to decide and we have to think about. And, you know, we say, well, you know, what is it? What's it mean, gospel? What is the gospel? Well, if you looked it up, it tells you that that the gospel is, well, there's several different definitions to it. One of it is a good story. And I would say that the gospel of Christ is a good story because it tells us the way to life. Another says good news, that it's good news. Well, it is good news because if we want to listen to it and follow after it, it has eternal life with it if we endure to the end. The teachings of Jesus Christ and His apostles, okay? And I wrote down some here. How about the gospel is a revelation of the grace of God to fallen man through a mediator. Or it is a wise, holy, and precious constitution of God for the recovery of fallen and sinful and miserable man from that deplorable state into which sin had brought him by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, into the flesh to obey His law which man had broken, to make a proper atonement for the sins by His death, and there to procure pardon and the favors of God. eternal happiness, all that believe and repent and receive the gospel salvation. These together, with the promise of the Holy Spirit to work this faith and repentance in their hearts, to renew their sinful natures into holiness, to form them on earth fit for this happiness, and to bring them to the full possession of it in heaven. You know, that's what the gospel is. That gospel is to help this old sinner, to help this sinner to overcome and endure the end. It's the inoculation or shot that cures sin. It's the only inoculation or shot or pill that cures sin in Jesus Christ our Lord. There isn't another. Otherwise, just like the things we have in this day of life that we're living in, when it comes to the physical body, of the different diseases and things that we have no cure for, God sent His Son, and He's the cure of sin and iniquity. He's the cure of evil. He's the cure of those things that's so important for you and I to apply to our life. And if we take Him as He prescribes, we can overcome the lion that's seeking whom he may devour. We can overcome him. We can be and walk. And the scriptures tells us that we can walk in a way, he tells us that we can walk in a way, Gary, that Satan would have to flee before us, because we walk so close to Christ that we have applied his life to our life, that we could rebuke him and cause him to flee. And if we could be like those individuals in time past, we read in the scripture, he says, the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ I know and Apostle Paul I know, but who are you? And he jumped on them and tore them all to pieces, and they left there naked because they wasn't prepared spiritually with God to challenge the enemy to their soul. But you and I had that opportunity to walk. That evil spirit would have to say, Andrew, I know you. I know you, Joel. I know you, Hugh. I know you, Annette. Because you can walk in a way that he knows that you are the son or daughter of Jesus Christ and of God. And that's important for us to walk in such a way. You know, I say that the gospel of Christ is that which is essential. It's good news and it's all this and that. But you know, the gospel of Christ can be bad news too. It can be bad news to those who have heard and rejected the holy word of Jesus Christ and would not follow after him. It could be bad news. It could be that would stand against you at the last day, or stand against me at the last day. It depends on how we apply it to our life. It's just like anything else, you know. It depends on whether we believe in Christ or not, and whether we want to accept him and receive him or not. We can reject him. And of what value is it, what he taught and the way that he has prescribed for us to live, to come to him and his Father, if we reject him and have nothing to do with him? Remember, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ in the same spirit that we left this life with. If we leave rebellious, if we read in the way that it talks about, then we have to go right over there that why those are in paradise before the second coming, there are those who are in the outer darkness, and that's where we would be, is in the outer darkness. if we reject him, if we will not apply to our life the gospel of Christ, if we won't have anything to do with it, if we walk our own way. I want to go over to Mark, the first chapter, and the 15th verse. And this is the Lord. And when he started his gospel, and when he started out, he told them in no uncertain terms, he said this, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What was the gospel? The gospel was the things that he taught, the way to eternal life. And sometimes you might call it the doctrine of Christ. It's that was essential for the children of men, that which was essential for that individual, that man and that woman that he breathed the breath of life in. It was essential for them to apply to their life, to have that eternal life with God the Father. And yes, like our brother read this morning, boy, they can be the victors over the animals and over the fishes of the sea and everything else. But only through Jesus Christ our Lord can we be a victor against Satan, the enemy of our soul. We can't hold him. We can't wrestle him. We can't do anything with him without our Lord, because he will overcome us. He is a spiritual being. He is a spiritual being. And you know, you and I have to fight him with the implements that God has given us, and that's his Son. That's how we fight him, by obeying him and keeping his commandments. That's the only way. We can't fight him like we were reading in a book, Jim and I, when we were in the field. We were reading in a book about one of the Mormon presidents that says, boy, he says, Satan don't mess around with me. He says, when I go to bed at nighttime, I got two loaded six-shooters under my pillow and a loaded shotgun right beside my bed. Now, can you think about that? What is that loaded six-shooter or that loaded shotgun going to do with Satan, a spiritual being? It's not going to do a thing. If he's going to be loaded, he better be loaded with Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he better be loaded with. He better be set with him, and he better be sleeping with his spirit. He better fall on his knees and ask God to protect him through the night if he wants to challenge Satan. That's the way you challenge him. You don't challenge him with a loaded six-shooter. It doesn't do any good. But you challenge him with a loaded heart in Christ and with your thoughts on Christ and with the invitation for Christ to come and to watch over you through the night, to watch over you in your daily walk, to help you in your decisions that you have to make, whether it has to do with school or whether it has to do with what you're going to prepare for supper or whether it has to do for your work or whatever the case may be. The decisions that you make them with the Lord. You make them with the Lord. I'm going to have to skip some of this because my time's getting away with me. You know, we're like, how many people here like olives? Raise your hand. How many people like olives? Do you like olives? Oh boy, well good. So do I. You know, before you can eat an olive, do you know that it had to be cured? Do you know if you picked an olive off a tree and ate it, it'd kill you? It's poison. There has to be something done. There has to be a change in the olive. They have to do something with it before it's edible for mankind. And you know something? Before we're what we're to be, to have that gospel given to us, that we might take it to the world and possess it, there has to be a change. There has to be a change in our heart and in our mind and the desires that we have. That our eyes are single to the glory of God. That we see and that we hear and that we're willing to listen and to obey. There has to be a change in our life. That's why he tells us that there's a new person when you're baptized. You put on Christ, you become a new person, a new creature, a new individual. That you've gone through the process of changing from the carnal mind to Jesus Christ our Lord. You've gone through the process of your heart and your mind of meditating upon the Lord. That your eyes are looking up and they're not looking all around and tied up in the world. But we're tied up into the one that created the world. And breathe the breath of life within us. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's where we're at. Let's go to the first chapter of Romans. And there in the first chapter of Romans, I want to read the 9th verse. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. How important that is. How important that we remember each other in our prayers. Let's go to the 15th verse. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. That gospel, how important is it? It's important. That gospel is important to you and I. It's important for you and I to take time to study that gospel, that we know what it tells us to do and not to do. It's important that we know that. It's important that we know that we need to study that gospel. So if somebody comes over and says, Chase, why do you have to be baptized? He knows. He can answer it. Do you know that there are many times that you might only have one time in your life to answer someone that asks you a question? You better have the answer, the proper answer. You might never get a chance again. But what you tell them at that time, they might remember 4 years from now and seek the gospel of Christ. You know, whether you like it or not, you might not get another chance. If somebody just happens to throw it out at you, that might be the only time that you had the opportunity to water the seed of eternal life in their heart. You may never get another chance. You say, well, you know, I don't know. I'll have to find out and I'll get back with you. And you know, sooner or later, why something, you may never have that chance to get back with them, because next time they might not be enthused. They might not be ready to receive. A person's ready to receive when the Spirit of God has touched their heart. And if the Spirit of God hasn't touched their heart, they're not ready to receive. they're not ready to receive. Let's go to 1 Peter. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, and I want to start, I'm just going to read the 24th and the 25th verses in 1 Peter. This is a common scripture, and we use it a lot because it verifies the fact that he says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you." This is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. You find something very similar in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, in the 6th through the 8th verse, when he tells them, "Cry." And Isaiah said, "What shall I cry?" And he says, "You know that the word of God will stand forever." And that word of God is going to judge us. This gospel is going to judge us. And if it's going to judge us, maybe we better know what it says. If it's going to judge us, maybe we should get more serious in applying it to our life. And maybe we hadn't ought to procrastinate like we heard this morning. Because you know, sometimes we can procrastinate and really get ourselves in trouble, can't we? We can put off sometimes a fixing part in our automobile and then it goes out and something else goes with it. We can procrastinate on a lot of things that if we procrastinate, we end up in trouble. Well, if we procrastinate the gospel of Christ, we're in trouble. We never know what's going to happen. Haven't we witnessed that? Haven't we seen that? You know, I was out in the field, Jim and I was out in the field in Upper Canada, and we got news that our sister, Kathy Malloy, was killed in an automobile accident. And you know what she was doing? They were traveling down to Payson for church. Is there anybody in this room know at any time when God is going to call you home? Do we know at any time when he says you have had sufficient time to follow after me and to get to know me and you haven't done it? She did. She was one beautiful sister. But you know, that's part of life. Part of life. We're not going to live through this. That's part of life. Sooner or later, he's going to call us home. And we just as well understand that. And we better prepare ourselves so we're ready to meet him and see him face to face. We better prepare ourselves for that. Because we never know when that day's going to be here. We all look and we look to the future and we think, well, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to build a house and I'm going to go out and I'm going to preach the gospel or I'm going to this or I'm going to that. But you're not sure that you're going to be here tomorrow. And you know, it's like our brother said this morning, you know, what are you going to take with you? You're not going to take anything with you. The only thing you're going to take with you is what you've put in your spiritual heavenly storehouse, to how you've lived your life. That's what you're going to take with you. That you're going to present to Christ when you stand before the judgment bar of God and say, here's my works. You're not going to be taking your bicycle. You're not going to take your motorcycle. You're not going to take your four-wheel drive or your pistol or your shotgun or your sewing machine. You're not going to take any of those things. They're going to be left behind. What you're going to take with you is how you have ordered your life before God and how you have walked righteously before Him and have walked in a manner that you have kept the gospel of Christ. You know, He has told us, He told them in Mark 16:15, He says, "Go ye out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." To preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't leave out anybody. He wants the gospel preached to everybody. Go ye out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that sort of important? You bet. You bet it's important that we go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And He says, "And those who believe shall be saved, and those who believe not shall be damned." Of course, He says, "Those who believe and are baptized shall be saved, and those who believe shall be damned." How important that is. But He says, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Would you say that if Christ made that statement and He sends us out to do that, wouldn't you say that that gospel was important? Wouldn't we say that that which He has given to us to carry, to cherish, to love, wouldn't you say that was important? Wouldn't He say that this should be in your memory, precious memory? How important it'd be. Absolutely. It is important. That's why He tells them, go ye out and preach the gospel to every creature, that they would hear. What would they hear? They would hear about the gospel of Christ, that restored gospel that was brought back to earth after the 1260 years. That restored gospel that was taught to them, that priesthood was restored by a hand of an angel was ordained. That you and I would know that there is two churches on this earth. There's only one church of Christ. Say, and whatever we want to do, there's one church of Christ. And you know, that doesn't mean that we're perfect, and that doesn't mean that we not make mistakes, because we're human beings and we aren't perfect and we do make mistakes. But nevertheless, according to Him, as He called and separated us from some of the other restorations, He made the statement that these are My present day apostles. We better know that those apostles are His choice of the present day. That gospel is here. We better know that the Spirit and the Bride says, come. And they have authority to say, come. They have authority to call and say, come unto us. For we have the gospel of Christ. How important it is that we realize that. I want to go over to the on page 674 in your Book of Mormon, third book of Nephi, 13th chapter. It's really the 12th chapter, but I want to read the 33rd through the 35th verse. "Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth and come unto Me and be baptized in My name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before Me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is My gospel." Bingo. "This is My gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in My church. For the works which ye have seen Me do, that shall ye do also. For that which ye have seen Me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do the things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day." He says, this is My gospel. That's Christ speaking. This is my gospel. That's His gospel. His gospel is the path to eternal life. His gospel is all the different forms of things that they have there, whether it's blazing a tree, whether it's picking a stack of rocks, or whatever the case may be, so you and I can follow the trail. So you and I can follow the trail to eternal life. He has set that path for us. He has set the markers there. And the markers in the gospel of Christ, love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Love the neighbor as yourself. To pray for your enemies. To do these different things. He set the markers in the path so that you and I could know to keep our feet in the path and to follow after our Lord and to know that He holds His hand. I'm going to have to go around some of this. I'm going to read one more scripture. And then I guess I better quit. I want to go over to Romans. The second chapter of Romans. And I want to read the 16th verse. He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. According to my gospel. Is there any thoughts in this room how important the gospel is? That they will be judged according to my gospel. Is there any thoughts in this room that would think that the gospel wasn't essential and that it wasn't important and that it wasn't taught and it wasn't delivered by Christ, that it wasn't set in order so that we would know? If the Spirit and the church say come, they'd have to say come to the gospel of Christ. It's going to judge you. The words of Christ is going to judge us. They're going to judge us. And we have a right to live them and have them to be precious memories. And not only precious memories, but precious time, this very presence, if we're walking with Christ. You know, when you feel that Spirit that my brother was talking about this morning, you know, that Spirit will be with you. How many of you have felt that Spirit with you and you know He's with you? How did you feel? Did you feel sad and downtrodden and everything else? Or did you feel uplifted? Did you feel the joy that comes with the Spirit of Christ? That uplifts you, strengthens you, encourages, gives you that desire to follow after Christ, gives you that desire to become the son or the daughter of God. You know, the scriptures tell me that Spirit isn't a spirit of fear, that it's a spirit of love. And of power, and of a sound mind. How true that is. You can walk anywhere you want to and not be a bit afraid if you're walking with the Lord. That doesn't mean that something can't happen to you. Because maybe they're going to throw you in prison. You know, I made up my mind a long time ago, if they ever throw me in prison, I'm going to preach. It doesn't mean that something can't happen to you, just like something happened to Kathy. But it does mean if you're prepared that you'll have joy as you go to the God that gave you, and that He sends you to a place called paradise if you've lived for it. And so I hope that we will realize how important the gospel of Christ is. I hope that we will really and remember how important it is that Save Two Churches is in existence today. That Church of Christ was in existence the day the angels ordained these men into the priesthood. And the Church of Christ again was on this earth. The other churches wasn't Him. That's at the end of the 1260 years. So we have a gospel. We have something to tie to. We have something to have precious memories with that will last throughout all our life, not just at midnight, but throughout all the day and all our life, the precious memories of Christ.